Big changes are coming to Liverpool and the wider Merseyside area. In the last special Liverpool Life podcast, we concentrated on the things that we can see, the big regeneration development projects and street protests about, and the support for refugees and wider immigration policies. In this podcast, we're focusing on more the changes that are rumbling below the surface and are about to thrust forward centre stage and affect the lives of almost everyone in the region, one way or another.
The changes that are here and the changes to come to the Liverpool region. Changes. A special Liverpool Live podcast investigation with Callum Morris.
On Wednesday, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, revealed his new budget, and a big talking point was business rates. Pubs and small businesses will now receive extra help with their business rate bills. The new measures mean that 90% of pubs in England will receive a discount, while small firms will see increases capped at £50 a month. Our reporter Thomas Begbie looks into how this may affect Liverpool.
Business rates are changing for the first time since 2008, the government has revealed. Businesses are expected to pay business rates based on the value of the property that they own or rent. Gino Ferriolo is the owner of a small cafe in the heart of Sefton Park. He called on the government to start getting tough on multinational businesses in order to help the smaller businesses be more competitive.
If we're going to change rules and regulations, one of the big things is to look at the multinational companies and actually, let's say, let's get a fair percentage of them paying fair business rates, fair VAT rates and fair tax rates. And it's the smaller companies that can't afford to actually take much more of the squeeze, because at the end of the day, it is, I think with Brexit coming along, I think we've got the hard times to come.
The government has claimed that 73% of businesses will have their rates frozen, with around 600,000 companies expecting to pay nothing at all. Some analysts have estimated, however, that rises could be as much as 7%, meaning that some businesses who were expecting to see their rates fall will actually see them rise. The government's plan is to revalue properties based on the 2015 valuation rather than the 2008 valuation, which is good for businesses outside of London, as high street rents have slumped since the 2008 recession. Richard Daly from the Liverpool Sefton Chamber of Commerce called on the government to lower taxes for small businesses just starting out to help give them the best chance possible to go on and succeed without being fearful of business rates.
But in general, what we're looking at is the government to look at the balance of the input costs versus the output costs. So businesses face high taxes and outgoings before they even start trading, in terms of the business rates, etc. So what we're looking at, what we'd like government to do, is look at how they can address that balance so that actual businesses don't start paying as much expenditure until they've actually started trading, so it's more linked to their output costs rather than their input costs.
Gino Ferriolo claimed that small businesses are the heart of the local economy and said that businesses must be given an advantage to employ staff and to keep business moving forward.
And it's the small businesses who help the areas like Liverpool, because basically they're employing all people who live local around the area, and if you lose a lot of small businesses, there's going to be a lot of redundancies.
Finding out about the changes that are coming and are already here in the Liverpool region. Changes. A special Liverpool Live podcast with Callum Morris.
The new Liverpool City region has come with a cash injection from the government and the brief to revitalise the local economy, and it will be headed by a directly elected full-time leader. Liam Keane has been finding out more and talking to two of the declared candidates for the job.
In May, people of Liverpool and the wider region will vote for a new mayor. This mayor, however, will not be taking over from Joe Anderson, the Liverpool City mayor. This mayor will be known as the Liverpool Region Metro Mayor, an entirely new position. Following the devolution deal that has granted more powers back to the region's leaders, this new mayor will govern over Liverpool and many of the boroughs surrounding the city. There has been a debate over the amount of mayors in Liverpool, with this new position becoming the third mayor for the region. the Liberal Democrats have launched a petition to abolish the city mayor position held by Joe Anderson. This petition has also been backed by the Green Party, and I caught up with Carl Cashman, the Liberal Democrat candidate for the region mayor. I asked Carl to give me an insight into his policies and to comment on the debate on green space in Liverpool and what he would do differently to Labour.
A big part of my campaign is going back to the government for more power. As I said, the devolution deal is substandard. It's not good enough for this great city and for the regions around it, up to Southport and down to the Wirral. So I'd go back to them and ask for power to control green spaces and really control planning, and I would stop what the Labour councillors are doing now in their respective councils over the issues to do with. I mean, in Knowsley, what we've got at the minute is, you know, a Labour Party that wants to pave over every single piece of green space in order to grab council tax. I understand that there's a funding issue from central government, but we have to find different ways of funding it rather than taking away the natural beauty of our area for generations to come.
Regarding the debate over the three mayors, I asked Carl what he thought about the petition set up by Liberal Democrat Richard Kemp.
I completely agree with Richard Kemp on this issue, and I completely agree with the Liberal Democrats in Liverpool. And I've campaigned myself over this. I was in Childwall the other day, knocking on doors and getting people to sign the petition. And one guy, it was a young lad that I was speaking to, you know, he was like, "Oh, I completely agree with you." The next minute, his whole family are chasing me down the road trying to sign the petition. So yeah, I think people, especially in South Liverpool, feel very passionately that, you know, Joe Anderson's kind of running roughshod over them in their communities, and they feel that it, the way we feel, that it's ridiculous to have a Lord Mayor, an elected mayor of the city, and then a city region mayor. So I completely agree that we should scrap the city mayor. And another thing that I'm saying about in this campaign is that we should scrap the city mayor to save the city money, and we should absorb the power of the Police and Crown Commissioner into the Metro Mayor's powers.
Next, I spoke to Green Party candidate for Region Mayor Tom Crone.
Is it that yourself and the Green Party can bring differently to this mayor race that other candidates and other parties can't?
Well, I think every party agrees that this city region needs good quality housing, better jobs, more jobs. But the Green Party say that we have to achieve those things without trashing the environment, without causing more pollution and losing more green space. Now, every party pays lip service to the environment and speaks about it, but when push comes to shove, they'll make the decision that basically services the bottom line. They won't really put sustainability first. The Green Party make a case that we can provide the jobs we need, we can improve housing, and it doesn't have to come at the cost of green space, it doesn't have to come at the cost of the environment. And that's something that's different and something that I'm hoping to convey over the next few months. We've never shied away from the fact that we're not favourites in this race. We're not one of the bigger parties, but, and as you say, Labour control all six boroughs that will make up the Liverpool City region, so I guess they would be the favourites. But the Green Party have only really been properly represented on councils within this region for about 7 or 8 years, and since then we've grown to, for a period, we were the main opposition on Liverpool Council. The previous mayoral election in Liverpool in 2012, we got 5%, and then this last year we got 10%. So what you're seeing is a steady progression, steady growth. We're looking to maintain that momentum. And what I've found so far with this campaign is that linking together all the local Green parties from across the region, we're realising how many campaign issues we've got in common, how many threats to green space, how many misguided developments are faced by every local authority. We realise we've got a lot in common, and we're finding a lot of energy from that, and all these parties are basically being brought back to life by this campaign. So I'm feeling very optimistic.
Tom also commented on his biggest competition and the challenge he faces.
I mean, the biggest competition, I suppose, probably the bookie's favourite at this time would be Steve Rotherham. That's where I've set my sights. As far as I'm concerned, aside from Steve Rotherham, everyone else is doing their best to make inroads. And I think he's going to experience more of a battle than he had probably gambled on, because the Labour Party have been making themselves more and more unpopular with some of their decision-making locally. I believe that, you know, the Liberal Democrats are trying to make something of a comeback. The Greens have been growing steadily. So I think he's probably going to have more of a battle on his hands than he's expected. So I've got my sights set firmly on Steve Rotherham and getting as close to that as possible. And, you know, who knows?
Regarding the mayor situation in Liverpool, Tom also had this to say.
I think one of the big problems with the mayoral model we've had in Liverpool is that it has just concentrated power into the hands of one person. And we've seen decision-making becoming less and less inclusive. The committees in Liverpool City Council have become less and less able to actually influence the direction of policy. Everything's just getting rubber stamped and basically dictated from above. Now, a far more democratic, inclusive way of making changes within the council would be for committees to have genuine kind of power to formulate policy, to change policy, and to dictate the direction of things. That means, you know, more councillors will be getting properly used for what they have to offer to the council. So I would be in favour of returning to a committee system whereby decisions are made by all councillors in a democratic way.
The mayor race continues, and there will be continuing debates over these issues as we approach May.
Liam Keane reporting there, as well as two candidates he interviewed. Others declared so far are, as mentioned, Steve Rotherham for Labour. There's also Tony Caldera for the Conservatives and Tabitha Morton for the Women's Equality Party. We'll be trying to interview them over the next couple of weeks, and the voting for the Metro Mayor takes place on Thursday, May the 4th.
This is a special Liverpool Life podcast, investigating the changes that are coming and are already here in the Liverpool region with Callum Morris. Changes.
It seems like all we talk about these days is Brexit, despite the result of the referendum being almost 9 months old. We've been looking at the businesses in Liverpool and what the future may hold for them. Kieran Simpson has more.
Theresa May seeming dead set on triggering Article 50 at the end of this month, Merseyside has to try to come to terms with the result of the referendum and consider the next step for the whole region. This is beyond important for local businesses in Merseyside, who are experiencing very tumultuous and uncertain times. Iago Perez is a Spanish man who's been living and working in Merseyside for the past 4 years, and he says the result of the referendum will probably have a negative effect not just on EU nationals looking to come and work in the UK now, but ones who are already here.
About Liverpool, I have to say that Liverpool is a really cosmopolitan city, you know, and people, they don't really care about the nationality. They are really open-minded. So if we're talking about in terms in Liverpool, no, that won't affect. But if we are talking about other levels, yeah, maybe.
However, other businesses are not as concerned. Ward's Fishery in Birkenhead told me that they do not get involved with politics and that the country has been through far worse and come out of the other side. This being said, a fishing business is likely to come out better off because of the Brexit vote, due to the strict fishing policies that the European Union have. It's fair to say that the city is fairly torn over the vote, and businesses are the same. These uncertain times will be difficult for them, especially those who rely on EU workers as a majority of their staff. On the other hand, the future could look bright, as the current immigration rules of the European Union are seen as many as discriminatory. Approximately 500 million people in the EU have the automatic right to live and work in the UK, but it's very difficult on the outside to find work in the United Kingdom if you are from poorer countries in Africa and Asia. It's fair to say that these uncertain times are causing big businesses in Merseyside no end of anxiety. However, many people think that this Brexit vote will be a boom for businesses in Merseyside.
Now, if you don't know what a pucker pad is, then you probably didn't go to school. Many people might know this, but the iconic pad is produced in Highton. Or should I say it was? It was announced last week that it would be ending operation here, with a loss of 55 jobs. People want products made in England to remain in England. This is much clearer in public debates in the lead-up to Brexit. More often than not, we associate manufacturing with the Industrial Revolution boom towns. Liverpool might be a surprise, though. Kerry Fitzpatrick has more.
Home of the cream cracker, the Jaguar Land Rover, and letting women across the nation know that Lamborghini makes you want to have more fun. Liverpool actually has its fair share of production. A Cambridge University study from 2013 found that manufacturing is a vital asset to the Liverpool City Region economy, supporting nearly 50,000 staff in 3,000 companies and directly contributing £3.2 billion to the overall economy. It's also just been announced that the Manufacturer Live, a flagship networking event bringing together over 4,000 of the UK's high-growth manufacturers, will be held in Liverpool's Exhibition Centre in November. So, what industries should we be proud of in Liverpool and what should impress us? Based in Highton Business Park, Hillwood International, the family-owned business famous for Lambrini, now also produce the premium Liverpool gin. It sells to international markets and has a £230 million turnover. And the Jaguar factory employs about 5,000 people. If we consider that people travel across the water for work, we can probably count massive industries like Unilever and Airbus too. Following the Cambridge study, the Liverpool City Region Local Enterprise Partnership established a vision that by 2020, Liverpool will be a global hotspot for industries. A one-stop shop where businesses could collaborate with each other and the city's universities. I spoke to Simon Reed, Sector Manager for Advanced Manufacturing at the City Region's Local Enterprise Partnership. He told me why Liverpool is a desirable location for making things.
It's a fantastic skills base. So in terms of semi-skilled operatives, skilled operatives, engineers, managers, senior managers, you know, we've got a massive manufacturing economy and always have done. So any company moving to the area or expanding in the area has got a, you know, a rich diversity of talent to draw on. Plus, because of where we are in the country, you know, part of the Northwest, which is the second largest manufacturing economy in the UK, you know, within a sort of two-hour drive time of Liverpool City Region, you've got literally thousands and thousands of skilled people we can draw on. So skills is a big issue. Connectivity, we've got fantastic connectivity, whether it be by water, by the port coming, you know, international sailings from all over the world in and out of the port, by rail at the Stobart Rail Freight Terminal, 3MG in Halton. You've got 8 trains a day from Felixstowe and Southampton bringing in freight and sending down freight. And then the motorway network, you know, the M53, M56, M57, M58, M62, M6, you know, we're slap bang in the middle of the country and our goods and services can reach anywhere from here. Plus, you know, we've got a long history of manufacturing. So in terms of risk, it's de-risked because, you know, large companies have been here for hundreds of years in some cases. So, you know, it's a very stable place to do business.
Factories like the Vauxhall Astra one in Ellesmere Port have for now secured their contracts, but will have to battle with Europe to secure its future beyond 2021. I asked Simon, why make things here and not somewhere else?
Well, I think it comes back to the high levels of innovation that we have in Liverpool City Region. So that those institutions that I've just mentioned, and others as well, like the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine, like Edge Hill University, like, you know, Hope University, you know, there's a lot of academic expertise that can be interwoven into the manufacturing process and supply chain. Although other countries are, especially sort of like Far East and Eastern European countries, are putting a lot of resources into making their manufacturing supply chains more technically proficient, they're trying to catch up really on a sort of 100, 150 years of the university structure that's existed in this country.
With 3 years to go until 2020, the City Region Enterprise still has some time left to realise its vision.
Automation, robots, virtual reality and artificial intelligence. How are our lives going to be changed in the next 10 years by these new technologies? And is Liverpool ready for the change? Lucy Fagan tells us more about it all.
Mark Carney, the Governor of the Bank of England, reported in recent months that robots and machines could replace 15 million British jobs in the coming decade. So what are these machines? They're artificial intelligence, which works to create efficiencies and add to the functionality of business systems. It's constantly being adopted by a growing number of companies who want to gain a competitive edge and get things done a lot faster. Secondly, robots. robots are becoming increasingly sophisticated and are set to take on more and more work done by people. A mobile phone shop in Japan has even already deployed robots to greet customers and help sell handsets. Not that this will be coming to Liverpool anytime soon. As these new technologies become more and more prominent, it makes you question, where do we go from here? I spoke to Lee Omar, a technology reporter and CEO of Red Ninja Studios, which is a design-led technology company in Liverpool, about what he thinks the future holds.
As artificial intelligence and automation increases, yeah, there'll be less of a need for humans to do the jobs that they're doing now, because software and hardware and you could call it robots will be doing that work. Technological revolution that we're going through at the moment is akin to the industrial revolution that happened in the 19th century. So yeah, I think I'd say those numbers are maybe high. It will be in the millions.
But is Liverpool ready for these new technologies?
I think we need to go back to basics. So I think our current education system is not fit for purpose for the current job market, never mind the future job market, because the sort of jobs that are going to exist in 10, 15 years' time don't exist now. So they're going to take a different type of skill set and a different type of thinking, and people are going to, they're going to be working in a different way. So things like the ability to program machines is going to be more and more important. So, you know, the only people who can do that now are sort of, you know, engineers, software engineers, or, you know, data scientists. It's these sort of people, and we don't have enough of those people at the moment. So I think we need to be learning more skills around how to work creatively with technology. And at the moment, there's not enough people with those skills. So we do have a skill shortage currently. So I think education needs to change, you know, from school right through to university.
The future seems to be in education, apprenticeships and finding new jobs to fit these technologies.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. I would like to thank everyone who contributed to this special edition of Liverpool Live Podcast. We'll be returning to normal next week. I'm Colin Morris and I hope you tune in again soon.